Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. For those new listeners coming on board today, I want you to know that we are in a study of the Gospel of John. We began with John chapter 1, and we're now in the 11th chapter of this great book of the Bible. The 11th chapter of the Gospel of John contains the greatest physical miracle that Jesus did while he was on the earth, the raising of a man by the name of Lazarus from the dead, a man who had been in the grave for 4 days, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. This miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus preceded the resurrection of Jesus himself from the dead. Let us go back into the text before I continue. I shall read to you from John 11, beginning with verse 40. Jesus says unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus says unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray now that you will give divine illumination on this sacred word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me briefly review what I covered last week, and it is that for this miracle of the resurrection to occur, there first had to be the removal of a large stone. That, my friend, teaches us that many miracles that we have been praying for, that we have been waiting for to happen, are held up because there are stones in our hearts that first have to be removed before the miracle can take place. At the time of this miracle, there was no lack of prayer. Jesus had already prayed prior to the removing of the stone for God to do this miracle through him. What was holding it up was not any more prayer, but what was holding it up was that the stone had not been removed. Many times we pray and pray and pray, and we can pray till we become blue in our faces, but God will not hear. God cannot do the miracle for us because there are stones of criticism in our hearts, stones of resentment, stones of stinginess, stones of selfishness, stones of pride and of bitterness and of unbelief. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. So after the disciples removed the stone, then Jesus was free to do the miracle of the resurrection. I also mentioned to you that there are right ways of praying and wrong ways of praying. Wrong ways of praying is when we come to God with a prejudice, with a preference, when we come to God having already made up our mind the way we want God to lead us and to instruct us, coming to God thinking that he thinks like we do and that he'll agree with our reasonings, with our thinkings. The reason why Jesus' prayer was heard to the raising of the dead and in all the other places is because he never came to God with a personal agenda. He never came to God with a preference, but always saying, Lord, thy will be done. Always seeking God's glory and never seeking to fulfill his desires of the flesh. Always realizing that his Father knew better. So wrong, selfish praying can also hold up a miracle. The second church I pastored was in Billings, Montana. Montana is a Rocky Mountain state. In this Rocky Mountain state, I suffered from hay fever. And so one day the Lord spake to me and he said, I'm calling you to a church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Well, Nebraska is a state that we say is the breadbasket of North America. It is a state where wheat is grown and corn is grown in great abundance. So when I found out that the Lord wanted me to go to this church in Nebraska, which was only half the size of the church I was in pastoring in Montana, the first thing I did was I went to the public library. I was still a young minister. And I found a book that told me the pollen count in every state of the United States. Because I thought the pollen count would surely be much higher in Nebraska than in the Rocky Mountain state. And I found out that in Nebraska the pollen count was 1,000 times higher than in Montana, where I pastored and where I suffered so badly from hay fever. Yet, my friend, although I was young, I knew enough not to try to give God my reasons and my excuses why He should leave me in Billings, Montana. I didn't say, "Now, Lord, don't you see that I have this problem with hay fever? And if I go down there where the problem may be 1,000 times worse, I'm going to die. And you won't have me around anymore to help people. Don't you see, Lord, that this would be acting irresponsibly because I have a wife and 4 children to look after? And don't you think that this would go against all reason? You gave us a mind to think, shouldn't we use it?" I could simply have said, "I believe really, when I think and pray about it, I believe really that the Lord wants me to stay in Billings, Montana." I could have given God my preference. I could have assumed that God surely agreed with my sound mind. But my friend, if I would have taken that position, I would never have gotten into this worldwide ministry that I have here in Indiana, because Nebraska was a stepping stone to Indiana. I would have been without the anointing of the Holy Spirit because I would have lived in a delusion. So I simply said, "Lord, I'm willing to go to Nebraska, and if you want me to die there, I might as well die there as in any state or any place in the world. I believe you know what you're doing, and I say yes to your will, and the rest is your responsibility." Now that was right praying. That was right praying, not projecting my reasons into my prayers, my thinking into my prayers, but letting God do all the thinking and accepting His will without any question. So we went to Lincoln, Nebraska, and I want you to know that although the pollen count was 1,000 times higher there than where I came from, I had much less hay fever in Nebraska than in Montana. And it is in that church that we found our son-in-law for our oldest daughter, and we found other people who are still ministering with us today. Pray aright. That's what Jesus did. That helped bring Lazarus out of the grave, and it helped answer all the prayers that Jesus offered to His Father. So Jesus knew His Father wanted to raise up this Lazarus, and He shut off his reason. He shut off all he knew about what a body was like that was 4 days dead, the condition of the liver, the blood, and the brain, etc. And he simply believed God, and he prayed the prayer of faith and expected a miracle. So after this, Jesus then was free to speak the word. And it says, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Jesus spoke quietly to God, and then he spake loudly to the dead man, Lazarus. And by the way, this is a precursor of Jesus' loud voice on the last day, when all the dead shall hear his voice in their graves, and some shall come forth unto the resurrection of life, and some unto the resurrection of damnation. Oh, my friends, you may ignore that still small voice of Jesus now when he says, "Come to the altar, give your heart to me." When he says, "Turn off this television set and read the Word of God." When he says, "Get rid of those unholy books and shut off this unholy worldly music." You may ignore the still small voice of Jesus now, but the day will come when you will not be able to ignore it. You will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Please listen to His voice and do it now. What He tells you, do it, my friend, that you might experience the resurrection unto life everlasting with our Lord. Now then, as Lazarus heard his name, he came back to life. Way down deep in this tomb, yes, this was not an ordinary tomb. I've been in this tomb. In there you have some twists, you have some sharp turns in this tomb, and you have to go through a very narrow passageway where I actually had to get on my knees to get through it to come to the burial chamber. As soon as Lazarus heard his name, he was alive, bound up hand and foot with grave clothes and a napkin over his face. He was alive. Oh, my friend, I believe when he heard Jesus call his name, he was shouting, and all the cloth, but he could not move. He could not move one step. So I believe that God sent two angels, one to take him by the feet and one to take him by the hands. And they carried him out of this tomb. And then they stood him up in front of the crowd that had gathered outside. So standing up, there was this mummy-looking person, all bound up. Yet he was alive, but he was not able to take one step after Jesus. Alive and yet bound hand and foot. Now, liken this man hearing his name coming to life to conversion. When we are converted, we hear Jesus calling our name. We hear him knocking at the door of our heart, asking us to let him come in. So we come to life, but when we come to life, we're still bound. Friend, what binds us is this old carnal nature. This old Adamic man has wrapped itself around us that we need deliverance from. And this work of God is called the work of sanctification. Jesus prayed for his disciples that they would be sanctified. And Paul prayed for his church people in every epistle that they might be sanctified and delivered from this carnality of the old man which prevents us from following the Lord. Yes, we can only follow Jesus as we take up the cross, deny self, and obey the Lord. The story ends, Jesus says unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Just as Jesus prayed for the sanctification of his disciples, as he's praying for them now, so must we also enter with our Lord in prayer that God's people will be sanctified and delivered from this carnal nature, this nature that causes strife and division, this nature that seeks its own way, this old Adamic nature that the Apostle Paul says will bring us to death, this old nature which is wrapped around the new life. Oh, how beautiful the words of our Lord. Loose him and let him go. So, in summary, I said today and last week that we must remove the stones in our hearts for God's miracle to occur. We must pray aright, without prejudice, without preference, without letting reason dictate our prayers. And I said we shall hear the voice of Jesus. Yes, we first hear him calling us to himself quietly with that still small voice. And on the judgment day we shall hear him call loudly, and we shall stand up for the resurrection of life or eternal damnation. We may ignore his voice now, that still sweet voice of Jesus, but on last day we cannot and we will not ignore it. So why don't you give your heart to Jesus today? My friend, why do you tarry? Why do you wait for the work of sanctification to occur? Let it begin with you, even now. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now, until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.